Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey. And we're the Office Ladies. We're still talking about all the hilarious behind-the-scenes details from The Office with icons from the show like Rainn Wilson, Greg Daniels, Melora Hardin, and so many more.
And we can't forget our two conversations with Office Ladies superfan Billie Eilish.
Hello. So join us for brand new episodes every Wednesday.
And revisit The Office Rewatch every Monday.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies wherever you get your podcasts.
The drive is live.
There you go.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, have the latest. And the latest is the Astros. Just fresh off of taking 3 of 4 from the AL Central leading Chicago White Sox, who are currently the 2 seed that the Astros are a game and a half behind. They now stay here at the Daikin to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are another team also competing in the National League, and they're in the National League wild card race. So these games are extremely important for them as well as they sit themselves in the final wild card spot. They actually have a better record than the Astros at 74-67. Sit in the final wild card spot. They are a half a game up on the Padres, so they need these games just as much as the Texans do, who currently at this time they sit 2 games up on the Rangers. So Christian Javier gets the ball tonight, Clint, and I do want to get to some of the moves if people are just getting their cars at 5 o'clock. Roster moves and some information as they have a bullpen piece going to the IL. But, Clint, Christian Javier, he's 1-5 right now, but he's getting the start. And I think it's important right now for him as they move forward, obviously, to give them good innings as a starter right now. But I think his role is potentially going to be the guy that kind of bridges the gap to the back of the bullpen when they get into the postseason games or these games that are important. And can he have the ability to throw 3-4 innings to kind of pick up the game? Because the leases are shorter in the postseason, and the minute that trouble happens, I mean, you know, Peter Lambert might go 3, might go 4, and he'll need somebody to bridge the gap. And I think they have one in Blue Ball, and Christian Javier would be a huge weapon if he could get back to doing this.
Well, look, I think that's the case with Ronel Blanco as well. I mean, those are two guys that I think, you know, come cutting time, you're going to need them more than likely out of the pen or as a 4 starter, but more than likely out of the pen in a longer relief role. And that's fine and dandy. But I think the most important, the more pressing, I think, thing for Christian Javier and Ronel Blanco both is getting us there. You know, I mean, they need to take a little bit of the pressure off of those top three arms and give us some, you know, something more than a long relief option out of the pen come cutting time. Like between now and the end of the season, you need Ronel Blanco and Christian Javier to start and give you a little bit of length. I'm not saying you got to give us 7. You got to have your best stuff, but be able to go out there and give us a chance to win games between now and then. If not, then you got to start leaning on Oh, Homer Mike, he's going to be back in the mix if Javier and Ronnell don't
the
handle their business.
I get crazy.
Well, I mean, is he till the end of the season?
I hope. I mean, I don't know.
I almost slipped.
I did not
mean
that. I'm sorry, Mike's family.
Well, I just hope Christian Javier, Ronnell Blanco, I just hope they can pitch well enough to give us a chance to win more times than not between now and then, right? You already, you know, you're without an arm out of the bullpen, and to then more times than not tax the bullpen every fourth and fifth start out of the gate could be a big problem. So Christian Javier tonight, obviously, it'd be nice to have a good outing and get some confidence for down the stretch.
No, it'd be nice, Clint. I've just accepted that these jokers ain't going deep and that he won't trust them to go deep. I mean, they just got 6 and 7 innings their last two starts. For starters, that would be a parade for the bullpen to have some off. Like, if Christian Javier can give you similar, you know, around the range of, you know, what Blanco did, you know, 4 or 5 innings and keep you in the game, like, I think that will be really important to what his potential role will be in the postseason. But I'm with you. If he could go 6, that would be absolutely fantastic. But, you know, hopefully he doesn't get to a place where he gets chased. This is a pretty good lineup that he's got to deal with. And you just want to see him, which is a good thing, because this is a playoff-level lineup that he's going to face, and how can he get through? Can you get me through two times? Can you get me through the lineup 2 times? All right, the lineup behind him.
That's where we're at with Christian out here.
I mean, right now, for what he's shown, man.
No, I think it's fair. I think it's fair. Are we just going to – that's where we're at. That's what we expect.
Pitching and more pitching.
I still got a little bit more hope for Javier.
I mean, I like Christian. If Christian Javier went 6 innings, I'm like, whoa, come on now. All right. Okay, I see.
Hey, my goodness.
What if he struggles in the second, but he gives you 6?
He won't be allowed. No, he won't be. He won't be allowed to get 28 in an inning. No,
big outing tonight from Christian.
Okay, and I'm with you. And I think a big outing for Christian is stepping into the game in the fifth, maybe 4 and a third, maybe 4 and 2/3. If you get through 5, that is huge. Line up behind him.
Wet blanket's back.
I mean, honest blanket. You go down there. Go in there and look there. How many times has he pitched more than 4 innings?
I was kind of dragging my blanket.
Has he done it? All right, Jeremy Pena, Yordan Alvarez, Paredes of the top 3 in the lineup. Jose Altuve, Varsho, Christian Walker behind them. And then Taylor Trammell, Yiner Diaz, late nights in the building, Lamont Wade Jr. And then, as we said, Christian Javier gets the ball tonight.
I was kind of dragging my blanket.
5 o'clock fire.
We know one thing Christian won't do is drag his blanket. We won't know. He'll just have the same look on his face the entire time with that jawline missing. But roster moves today. The Astros, they had to place left-hander, if you're just jumping in, with a Stephen Okert on the 15-day IL with a right hamstring strain. It's retroactive to September 1st. With him going on the IL, they've called up Brian King from Sugarland, who is a tough watch for our guy Clint Sterner, but he'll be up. The good thing is Stephen Okert said himself he feels it as minor, and hopefully this is a short-term thing. And that's big, because they definitely need him. He's been one of the guys they trust in the bullpen.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, this thing is really kind of going crazy with the LSU versus the SEC. Last night, Daquan Wright and Xavier Harris are and have been cleared to return to college football after a brief stint in the NFL, according to the judge's orders issued Thursday evening, setting up a dramatic showdown between the SEC and LSU leading into its season opening game this weekend. They'll play Clemson tomorrow night. Wright and Harris were both at Ole Miss and said in a lengthy court hearing Thursday that they intend to join their former coach Lane Kiffin in his debut season at LSU, which opens up Saturday against Clemson. They are among 42 athletes in various sports, including former Notre Dame pass rusher, don't got that name, who also plans to play for LSU as well, who have sued the NCAA in Louisiana to play for their fifth and final season in college sports. After the ruling, Daquan Wright, Clint said, he has had two practices this week with LSU, and he is ready to go. Been doing stuff on his own. He's ready to play on tomorrow against Clemson. This thing does not feel like it's coming close to an end. Like, I don't think the SEC is just going to sit back and fall and just watch this happen. I think the big deal is, Clint, is Lane Kiffin and LSU actually going to do this? Are they actually going to dress these guys? We'll see the roster, I believe, has to come out at some point today. We'll see if they're on it and to see if they actually play in this game.
Now, it wouldn't surprise me if they weren't on a roster or on the sideline, but it, at this point, it would shock me if they stepped foot on the field. If they participate in any way, shape, or form, that could result in a fine, that could result in some kind of disciplinary action for the coach, for the program, for the team. I think this stuff is all still new, and we're learning as we go. I just don't think that Lane Kiffin is going to be brazen enough to put these guys on the field. You know, you can argue from several different angles that the pursuit of these guys even being eligible. I mean, if you're the players' representation, obviously this is you know, your livelihood, this is your future. I mean, if you're able to play, you can obviously make money this year. You could go back into the combine and the draft next year. So it's a big deal for those, would you say, 42 athletes from various sports for them to be able to do it. So I understand why it is a thing. I just don't know at this point on 9/5/2026 if Lane Kiffin's going to be brazen enough to risk all that he would be risking if he played those guys. And they're depth players. It's not even like they're frontline starters, and they're going to be impact players, if you will.
This isn't like what Texas Tech was trying to fight for.
Right. It would be reckless if he were to do it, to be honest with you. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Crazy that we're here, but we got big time college football programs putting their neck on the line for quarterbacks that bet on themselves and players that have already been in training camps with NFL teams. Imagine that.
Is he gonna speak first? Is he gonna speak first?
Oh, he'll be on the field. You know, they'll interview him from the field. He likes to get interviewed during
they're
stretch.
Gonna, I think I'm with you. I think they're going to be on the roster. I don't know if he's gonna play. I don't know if somebody's going to have to get to him to say, all right, Lane, we pushed this all the way to the end. Let's chill.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Tank Dell renegotiates his deal, Clint, the Texans wide receiver. Tank Dell, who's going to obviously start, we've talked about, he's going to start the first 4 weeks at least on the PUP list, on the IR list for the first 4 weeks. He'll have to miss the first four games. He is getting a here. He has renegotiated his contract. He is now due $1.74 million, including a $500,000 signing bonus, and $1 million of this is guaranteed. His cap figure now drops to just under $2 million. Previously, Clint, he was due $3.6 million in the final year of his rookie deal with a salary cap figure hitting at just a shade under $4 million. So they have reworked his deal, and I thought it was interesting. Your thinking is that you think there's a rework here, but we will potentially see him be a part of this team with a new contract in the future.
Well, I think it's two different, you know, negotiations, obviously, but I don't think that has anything to do with what they're doing right here. I think this is similar to what they did with Jarrett Patterson. Jarrett Patterson had a bigger number on the books, but it wasn't guaranteed. So they gave him some more guaranteed money in return for him to put some of his money back on the books for the team. And so they renegotiate and give you more guaranteed money. I mean, this is a big drop. From damn near $4 million down to what is it, 1.7 or 1.9, whatever it is. I mean, that's a big, big difference right there. So I do wonder, was some of this pushed into the future? Like, what does this renegotiation look like? I mean, that's obviously way above my pay grade to figure that out. But I think it's along the same lines of Jarrett Patterson's, where it's just, hey, man, if we could cut you right now and this base salary would go away, or we can renegotiate this thing. We'll do you a solid by giving you some more guaranteed money, but ultimately you're not going to make the $4 million that you would have made contractually. So, but I think this is two separate deals. I do think that after this renegotiation of this one-year deal, which this deal was renegotiated, but it still ends in 2026.
Yes.
Or I guess 27, it would be more like, but when this season's over. So I do think they end up giving him a one-year deal, much like they did Brevin Jordan, keeping him on the books and giving him a shot to recover fully.
Yeah, looking at this, I just say that to say that they're potentially looking at this as more than just a year thing in terms of how they look at him, how they get him ready, how they get him prepared, how they bring him back, that this could be a thought of, We intend to maybe have you even past this year.
Yep.
So there's no rushing you from a physical standpoint or anything, or there's pressure that you gotta get on the field or you may be hosed at that point. That they potentially view him as more than just this season as a player. All right. Coming up as we continue, we had a really good Will Anderson conversation, and I'm looking at Will Anderson from a standpoint of, hey man, he needs to be at the level or exceed where he has been. Or, man, I think there may be some different thoughts of how people are looking at Will if he does not do so. Also, some news out of the NBA. We'll discuss that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Saw this earlier, fellas. The 2026-2027 NBA season will be Charles Barkley and Ernie Johnson's final season on Inside the NBA.
Wow.
Barkley said of the show's upcoming season, unless Ernie Johnson changes his mind, next year is going to be my last year 100%.
Ernie's and, his boy.
He said, me and Ernie are a package deal. I'll go on
it,
huh?
I love it, man. That's the way it ought to be.
You love it? You love that that's like...
Yeah. I mean, I think you... I mean,
that show's over, right?
I mean, that doesn't sound like... that. Does that sound like to you like Ernie's calling it up and retiring, so Chuck is too? Or does that sound like they're trying to push him out and Chuck said, well, if you're pushing him out, I'm gone too?
No, I think it's Ernie's wanting to hang him up and Chuck's rolling with him.
Well, if that's the case, I don't know if I can appreciate it, but that sounds to me like
Kenny and Jack ain't going.
That sounds to me like Ernie's making up more money than they think he can. They got somebody that's making less money that they feel like can get amongst those three guys and do work. And Charles said, "Nah, that ain't how this thing's going to roll." He's trying to protect him, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think Ernie has announced that it was going to be his last year.
And oh yeah,
and Chuck is rolling the same way.
Big fan of Ernie, man.
Oh yeah. That show can't go without him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shaq would have tried to beat him to the punch if that were the case. Shaq would have been pissed. You know, he wants to be first. he wants to be first on that thing. All right, Clint, we were talking about this a little bit earlier with Will Anderson, and I'm wondering from you, a former player's perspective, a guy who's also covered the league and covered college football, and you from a bit of a different perspective, due to the change in the contract and what they've invested in him, and with that, what they've trusted in him, are you looking at Will Anderson from an expectation, from a production, from what he does? Are you looking at him differently this year due to what has happened on the offseason?
No, the money doesn't change anything for me. I mean, I've always, my expectations for Will Anderson are through the roof. I think the responsibility, if you will, I don't know if it's the right word, but the position that he holds on this team.
He's the highest paid player on the team.
Right? Yeah, both on it. Yeah, the money is obviously requires that he go out and produce the way that, I mean, in barring any kind of injury, that everybody feels like he's going to produce. I don't think that the money means that all of a sudden he's got to do anything different than what he's done to date. I mean, I think the impact that he has on a football game is obvious regardless of stats. And I think that's ultimately what he's paid for. But I've thought that Will Anderson's game, would continue to climb year in, year out. So I do expect his numbers, if you will, and his play to improve, the numbers to improve. But I'll be honest with you, I felt that way before he became a $50 million a year guy. I mean, for me, I didn't care if it was $40 million a year or $50 million a year. I think he's gonna be better than he was last year, which was all pro.
Yeah, I think he's got to clearly have to be at that level, right? I think he has to me. I mean, it's not even to justify, because Will Anderson is a, and we've talked about it from the day it was announced, nobody is surprised, or nobody, I don't think there was a real major argument about paying Will. But I think for the Texans, there's more than just his.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Play that garnered the investment and
absolutely
the trust that they put in him with this. But I do think from outside of maybe the organization, I think when you, that's how I feel too. And I don't know how Tyler feels or how you out there listening, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. When there is a situation of, hey, we are paying you this certain level of money, especially in a salary cap sport, right? There's an expectation of this, right? That's why in LA they're looking at Kyle Tucker like, hold on, man. Hey man, we didn't pay you this kind of money, man. And you stink. I'm not saying Will Anderson's about to be him. I'm just saying from the standpoint of Kyle Tucker, the reason why people coming at Kyle Tucker so hard is how much money he's making and what he's producing. But I do think with a certain, when someone gets paid like this, there is also a certain level of expectation in production and him continuing to ascend. And I think he's very capable of doing that, and I have no reason to believe he won't. He has done it the first 3 years, but I do think there is a bit more pressure on Will Anderson to remain in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, because he should be, especially with the way what they've committed to him, and that his production meets a certain standard. And he plays a position where there is some numbers like sacks and forced fumbles and things like that. That are big numbers that I think he has to meet a certain level, or I think there will be some people who potentially look at Will differently. Like I think, like if you know, big games or something, and Will isn't like, hey man, what's up with Will? And I think it's a little different now that he's the highest paid player on the team.
Yeah, look, I think as long as he's healthy, any opponent, he is going to be the main focus of the opponent's offense of how do you handle this guy? How do you handle him in the run game? How do you handle him in a pass game? And that's to me, that's why he got paid $50 million. He's not an elite pass rusher. I mean, when you start talking about elite pass rushers, the Myles Garrett's and the what's Buddy's name, and Micah Parsons, and you know, these different that are just elite pass rushers. He's still got a lot left to either prove that he, you know, that he doesn't have it in his bag, or maybe he does have certain pass rushing skills in his bag. I mean, he's not even there yet. There's a lot to learn about Will Anderson, but I think the money is paid to a guy like Will Anderson because he is the pillar in your program. He absolutely plays every snap of every single game and sets the tempo of exactly how you want every member of the defense to play. He embodies it. And then he's awfully productive, disruptive and productive while he's doing it. So, that $50 million you can slice up for multiple different reasons. You know, it's my expectations hadn't changed for him.
Yeah. I will look at him with higher expectations. Moving on. Someone texted in and said, stop using money in dollars and cents. No. No. No, this is a salary cap sport, right? When you pay a certain person a certain amount of money, that means it's potentially stopping you from being able to do other stuff. Like when they made Derek Stingley the highest paid corner in the league, I felt like Derek Stingley should be playing at a level where he is playing like the highest corner in the league. And he has. He's been the first team all pro the last 2 years. When you go to making money like that, hell yes. No, I will. Because Lord knows you're going to if CJ gets paid. Oh, as you God. As you should. No, hell no. The Chiefs aren't sitting there thinking, well, Patrick Mahomes got $64 million this year. But, yeah, man, all right, man. Yeah, hey, throw 18 touchdown passes this year. No, hell no. No, listen, he is fully capable of it. You all have watched it. You've seen it. We talked about it earlier. J.J. Watt was in the same position that he was, right? J.J. Watt was not a bona fide Hall of Famer before he set the market. Probably on his way to it, but not a bona fide Hall of Famer. J.J. Watt got paid. J.J. Watt took his game to another level. That's all. That should be the fair expectation of Will Anderson Jr. One, because he's absolutely capable of it. And damn it, yes, when only quarterbacks make more money than you in the National Football League, yeah, hell yeah, money and cents matter to your production. All right, I'll just say it. Let that man roll out here with 10 and a half sacks next year. Let him roll out here, 10 and a half sacks. Are you saying, yeah, oh, no, that's not a big deal, not a big deal. He's a pillar.
And they say no.
Clint will say that because Clint sticks to it. Y'all won't be saying he's a damn pillar if he gets that. Hell no. No, you won't. Not a chance. And there should be more pressure and production on it. T-Mill's best bets coming up. I broke even yesterday, not red or the green. See if he can end the week well on a Friday. T-Mill's best bets and much more coming up next.
All right, H-Town. Today's picks are in. The choice is yours. Are you tailing?
Forget the myths. The media is created to just follow the money.
Or fading?
There is no nobility in poverty.
It's time for T-Mill's best bets on the drive.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich!
All right, T-Mill's best bets, as we said last night, at least he wasn't in the red, okay? So that's in the red, back-to-back days there. At least he was not in the red, and he broke even, sort of, at least on the bets, although I think Clint has informed me that the juice...
There is no breaking even in betting. Even.
But as close as it can be,
there would be no book.
If there's four, he got two of them right, two of them wrong. So in this case, it's breaking even.
Lost the juice.
Yep. Hopefully, he can have a big day in the green. Remember, you can take a listen or take a look if you don't or you're unable to hear right here. You can go to to Twitter at Space City Sharp. You'll have the best bets posted right there. He does it every single night. If you need to go back and look at them again, that is at Sports or at Space City Sharp. Space City Sharp. That is where you can see T-Mills best bets. All right, what you got tonight? Ooh, you got a little weekend action. What you got?
That's right. Our first college football slate of wagers. Been excited about this. I like betting
football.
Been
waiting for a little football
hit. Damn right. And I'm ready to bet on NFL too whenever the time comes next week. But right now we have four college football bets. We have not had a day in the green with our best bets since Monday. As Ron said, we got to remedy that. I feel really good about most of these bets right here. Your best bets are on college football. First time of the season. First, number 7, Miami, taking on Stanford. I'm on the over in this game, over 47.5 to be exact. Expect a lot of scoring. Miami's offense should actually be even better than they were last year when they made the college football playoff. And a lot of points. Take the over, 47.5. I like it up to 48.5, to be honest. Second best bet for your college football slate, Auburn minus 7.5 as they host the Baylor Bears. Mm. This bet is a solid wager simply because the Baylor Bears football program is in a horrendous place right now. I'm not saying I'm expecting Auburn to go out there and just be amazing, but whenever you're playing against a team like Baylor, I think Auburn gets it done, -7.5.
Life has come at both of these programs a little fast. They were these were two programs that were at least top 25 teams year in and year out that, hey, every once in a while, every about 4 or 5 years, they could have a special season where they could almost win their conference. That has gone out the window with these guys.
Very quickly, yeah. Especially, I feel like, with Auburn. I mean, just kind of fell off a cliff. But I do expect them to cover this, -7.5 against Baylor tonight. That game is tomorrow. Your Miami bet, the first bet, by the way, that is tonight. And now I have two Sunday bets for you.
Ooh, the Apple Cup.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington State at number 17, Washington, over in that one as well. Eyes are bad. 51, over 51 for Washington and Washington State. And then your fourth and final best bet, as I said, again, this is on Sunday. Number 9, Ole Miss to cover, -6.5 as they host number 24, Louisville. That is the game, some say, of the week. I like that bet a lot. Might be my lock up these four. Take it, put some money in your pocket. Those are your four college bets, boys.
There it is. All right. Four college bets right there. Go ahead and make you some cash. Again, go to at Space City Sharp. At Space City Sharp. You'll have them posted there. They're posted there every single night. T-Mills best bets. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as they will get this thing ready. One more. This is the last weekend until this thing heads to the regular season, so be ready for that. Coming up after them. Just saw these good people walk past. Amy Lawrence, she'll be in, as Sean Bajani was on In the Loop earlier. Amy Lawrence will be in with Patrick Creighton tonight, and our guy Bryson is running the show there as well. So Area 45 live and local until 11 o'clock tonight. The best damn night show in all of Houston, Area 45. They'll also have the baseball post-game show, as hopefully Christian Javier and company can continue this little stretch of them winning games here and get a win over Arizona tonight. And they'll be talking to you as soon as the game ends. That is the best place to go if you're looking to hear a little post-game action. So stay right here on 95.7 The Fan. To my guy, because I do want to get the little Saturday slate, because I want to get what your game of the game of the weekend you're looking at. To this gentleman here, my man said he makes up 4.26% of the cap. Stop using dollars and cents. Funny what you pick and choose to read. Well, I'm reading you. I'm going to assure you, sir, I'm going to go out on a limb on this and tell you that most of the fans are not sitting there thinking, oh, he makes 4.26% of the cap.
That math is off.
It doesn't make sense to me. I didn't think it was off, but I'll even go with that. He makes He's the highest paid player on the team. And there is an expectation change that comes with the highest paid player on the team. Just like in 3 years, if Amen Thompson is still shooting 21% from three, Clint's going to have a problem. Mm. And everybody. If Amen Thompson is the same player that he is right now, a guy that is a hell of a defender and his offensive game has not moved from where it is right now, nobody's going to be saying, oh, he only is 8% of the cap. You might. I'm going to go out on a limb just doing this and being around fans in sports for 40 years. I don't know how old you are or what your credentials of years are. That they're not screaming that, because if that's the case, if you're 4.6226 is the case, then people wouldn't be so up in arms on what CJ Stroud's 5.5 would be then. If that's the case.
Well, the extension was on the back end of the contract. So he's playing his fourth year of his rookie contract right now. Yeah. So from a money perspective, that's how you get to the 4.3%.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. We're still playing the fourth year, the fifth year, his sixth, seventh, and eighth year in the league are when it jumps up to that big boy number.
Okay. Yeah. Again, being around fans, like I have been around fans, they know what he just got, right? And they know that money that he got, even though it doesn't kick in yet, they know that they have to plan on who they're going to sign based off knowing that big money is sitting back there. So, yes, it does matter, even though he doesn't kick into him yet. It does matter. And everybody knows that he is the highest paid non-quarterback in football. All fans know it. Again, they're not sitting back there saying, if Will Anderson has 10.5 sacks, oh, it's all good. It doesn't kick in yet. That's not how most fans operate. Now, maybe you and your friends.
We saw with the fans whenever Harden got his last deal with the Rockets. Like, we saw that.
I mean, this guy's being brand new.
He's just being silly.
Or maybe he just doesn't know fans.
Just being a silly goose.
Yeah, we're not going to get calls if he starts struggling at some point. Oh, guys, it doesn't kick in yet, so that's good.
Take your time, Terminator.
All right, let's do a little Saturday slate. You know, every Friday we find our way to get our games of the week, and there are some big games this weekend. Well, at least one big one. Clint, I'll let you kick off. What is your – I love that music. Jesus, stop. What's your game of the week? As I know you're pissed off that there are college games tonight on a Friday night. There's college games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Which one are you looking at?
Well, look, I think there's a handful of games. Kind of. What are you about? Is the hype for real? I think you got Oregon State at Houston, number 23, Houston. I think that obviously is Houston really a threat to win the Big 12 type of game? If so, you should handle Oregon State.
Yep, I agree.
Oregon, number two in the country, host Boise State. Boise State is one of those squads that every year they find a way to be a thorn in the side of some really good football teams.
Football's Gonzaga.
Yeah, there you go. Is Oregon for real? I think Notre Dame. Notre Dame, we've talked about their, you know, the shoe-in college football playoff schedule and rules that they now have. You know, they're catching Wisconsin week one. Is Notre Dame for real? If so, they should handle Wisconsin. But look, I know you asked me about one game. There's none bigger than the one that we've been talking about because of all these court cases and rulings and yada yada. I guess they're not court cases, these rulings, whatever the hell's going on in college football with LSU. But Clemson at number 11, LSU, with all that's going on at LSU, Clemson is. I know they have not been great of late in the transfer era portal Yes, I mean, I understand they haven't been great, but it's still Clemson. It's still Dabo Swinney going to LSU to open the season. That's the game of the week for me. And again, I mean, if we're being honest, number 11 LSU. If they're really a national championship contender, yeah. I would like to think that they should be able to handle business at home against an unranked Clemson football team.
Yeah, last I checked, they were 10-point underdog or 10-point favorites. LSU was. Let me see if I can find that again. Yep, 10-point underdogs. Clemson is, which is wild where Dabo is. No, listen, Dabo obviously ain't in any trouble with what he has done there. But, I mean, seven games at Clemson for what he is. That's what they won last year.
I mean, look, his stick gets real old real quick if you ain't winning. I got to believe that a rough year this year, that even Dabo, with the history he's got, would be on the hot seat. Maybe not in trouble, but definitely on the hot seat. Good gosh. I mean, he's getting two left
out of
behind.
Two out of the last 3 years, it's been below their standards. And then the 1 year, they came back and won just a poor ACC. And got into the college football.
That's playoff. Right. I forgot about. Boy, they did sneak in there. That's the year SMU had to backdoor, right?
Yep. Because they beat them in the conference tournament, the conference championship game, and got the automatic bid. They wouldn't have got in.
Big shout out to everybody out there this Labor Day weekend. Everybody, I want everybody to be safe. I got my boys. My boys coming from Baytown. They're easing over to do a little golfing in the Hill Country. Cap and Jay and Byron and. We're going to have us a good old time, man. So I hope everybody out there has as good a time as we're planning on having, man.
I do. By the way, also, sneak one in. Number 24, Louisville versus number 9, Ole Miss, one of the only ranked matchups. I am intrigued to see what Ole Miss looks
like. Oh,
yeah.
Hell, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, Pete Golden in the little playoff run, that's one thing. But now it's the season, and I love their young quarterback who's able to come back and play. You want to see what they look like without Lane Kiffin throughout a season.
There's some folks that are pretty high on Louisville as well, we'll see what they're about.
Should be a good one. That game is being played in Nashville at Nissan Stadium.
Boy, that means some times there, bro.
You're not alone. All right.
Streets were a little more friendly back then.
There you go. Texans All Access behind us and Area 45 with Amy Lawrence and Patrick Creighton coming up after that. Live and local to 11 right here on The Fan. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your Labor Days. And I am Ron, the show Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
What was yours? Bend over, let me see it.
Let me see it.
That's it.
I just want you to know, man, you changed my life over there in that hotel in St. Joseph, Missouri. Every time they played that, let me see it.
Yep, my boy,
I found me a wall, slid off on that wall, got low with my hips, and just waited.
Air humping on the wall.
I got in there.
Started moving my hips.
Moving around the music. Swinging my hips.
All right.
Moonshine.
All right. We'll check in with you.
Brought to you by
I Love Sports. What's my favorite sport?
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.
You shutting the f*** up.
Blue's Clues is next.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.